WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're taking a respite for the Maryland Crab Cake Tour to have Maryland sauerkraut and kielbasa this week. We did do a Crab Cake Tour last Black Friday. We're taking a little respite this week here, getting ready for Jacksonville. I thought I had a flight to Jacksonville. I thought the weather would be good. I thought the Ravens would be on a winning streak, and they are. Luke Jones joins us now during the Thanksgiving holiday here. As much as we have beaten up the team about the offense and the lack of offense, certainly, and I don't know that we would have thought about this when they were giving away three touchdown leads defensively back in September, but the defense has certainly taken the emerging role for this franchise again in the time-honored tradition of Ray Lewis and Ed Reed. But the defense is coming, and the offense is still very much in question right now, Luke.
Yeah, and what's funny about it is you still look at this team statistically, at least going into Sunday's game, and it was still the offense that looked better on paper because of how well it was playing earlier in the year. And how well, let's be clear, it's not as though the offense was playing poorly before the bye, but certainly we've seen the running game be really, really stout. It wasn't so stout on Sunday. And the passing game, you know, kind of going the wrong direction since early in the season. But on the flip side, yeah, the defense was outstanding. And let's be clear, they needed to be outstanding, and they should have been outstanding on Sunday, because we are talking about a Carolina Panthers team that had already benched Baker Mayfield once and had fired their head coach back in October. And, you know, it's a team that's banged up, and you know, they've got some talented players on both sides of the ball, one of them being DJ Moore, of course, the former Terp. But it's a team that is lacking, right? So you want to see a defense that had been playing well before the bye and acquired Roquan Smith before the New Orleans Monday night game to continue to play well and to take that next step. And boy, they did on Sunday. You know, as much as we want to talk about the offense feeling, you know, leaving you wanting, the defense was outstanding. You know, you hold a team to 3 points, and I get it. It's not going to garner the headlines that Dallas did, for example, going to Minnesota and just completely crushing the Vikings. It's not like that, but at the same time, this defense went out there and they completely shut down Baker Mayfield and this Panthers running game that, you know, had, say what you want about the Panthers overall, they'd run the football pretty well since they traded Christian McCaffrey about a month ago. So that was great to see. I think what's interesting for me is seeing how this defense is evolving from a personnel standpoint. And I know you mentioned in what you wrote at BaltimorePositive.com talking about Jason Pierre-Paul and some of the other edge rushers that are now in the mix and still waiting on David Ajabo to get into that conversation at some point here in the near future. But I think for me, you think back to what the Ravens have been defensively over the last several years, you know, they had kind of been a team that was a little more dime dependent because of not having a whole lot at inside linebacker, or at least the options they had being guys that were a little more limited. You know, guys like Josh Bynes, who, you know, love having him on the field first and second down, you know, obvious passing situations, maybe not as much, you know, and same thing with Patrick Queen until this point in his career. But with the acquisition of Roquan Smith and until his knee injury on Sunday, and again, the Ravens will hope for the best because Kyle Hamilton had been playing some of the best football of his rookie season over these last couple games, they've really evolved into much more of a nickel heavy defense, where you look at the final snap count on Sunday, Nestor, Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen played every single snap. When was the last time, and I'm saying this rhetorically, I don't know, when was the last time the Ravens had two inside linebackers playing every single snap? You might need to go back to Ray Lewis and Bart Scott.
I was going to say Ed Hartwell didn't play third down, because I remember he and I having an intimate conversation about that at one point. So, right, yeah, right. I mean,
Maybe Danelle Ellerbe a little bit, you know, but even that, he was a guy that they took off the field some. You know, Jameel McClain, they took off the field. I'm thinking back to maybe Zach Orr's last year, he and CJ Mosley, but I think that there was still a lot of subbing that would go on in that group, and you'd have a dime linebacker that you'd bring on the field that might be a little more adept at pass coverage. So, you know, you just kind of look at how the snaps were distributed. They had six guys that Marcus Peters missed one snap, I think it was, but they had six guys that played every single snap. And you expect seeing that at safety and at corner, But to have two linebackers, I just think back to where the Ravens have been the last few years at that position. I mean, even go back to the CJ Mosley era, he played every snap, but typically whoever was playing next to him was coming off the field and they were mixing and matching a little bit. So it really is a different dynamic for this football team right now. And that's why when Kyle Hamilton gets hurt in the third quarter, it forced them to kind of change what they were doing a little bit. Marlon Humphrey, who had been playing out on the outside, slides inside to play the slot and play the nickel. And Brandon Stevens then came in at corner and he played on the outside. And, you know, he held up okay. You know, not a complaint, but they'd kind of found this alignment with playing this nickel, having Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen being so versatile in what they can do with blitzing and all the different things that you're expecting first-round linebackers to do. But it's also been Kyle Hamilton playing that big nickel, which – it wasn't the spot that he was handling earlier in the season when he was, you know, the Ravens were kind of searching what the best fit was for him, but it was really, you know, filling a need for them because, you know, they haven't had that third corner that's emerged and become that consistent third option for them. So, you know, that's where you, as much as we'll focus on Ronnie Stanley and his health and how important that is for obvious reasons, because the Ravens have lived that the last couple of years, you know, you're really hoping that Kyle Hamilton's okay because, you know, he was really ascending the last few weeks and you hope for the best with his knee issue because, you know, he's really calmed down what had been a question mark for them. And it's, you know, trying to figure out who that third corner, so to speak, was. He's not a corner, but he was playing that slot, that nickel spot, and playing it at a high level against recent opponents. So it has been interesting to see where this defense has gone. And yeah, that's without even mentioning where they are at outside linebacker right now, compared to early in the season when Justin Houston and Adafe Owe both playing 50 plus snaps a game, which was not tenable. No, there's no way to sugarcoat that. You can't have those guys playing that much. On Sunday, Justin Houston played 25 snaps, and we've seen how effective he's been on a lighter pitch count. And I think this one's a little more interesting, though. Adafe Owe only 23 snaps, and I'm guessing that was a product of Carolina being a little bit more of a run first team. And we've seen Owe have his issues setting the edge. So it's really an evolving outside linebacker group at this point in time that's been led by Justin Houston and having Tyus Bowser back on the field now, but be interesting to see how that plays out moving forward, especially when we anticipate seeing David Ajabo added to that mix here in the coming weeks.
You can find Luke Jones at Baltimore Luke. You can find both of us together at Baltimore Positive anytime. And, of course, out at AM 1570. As you go to Grandmom's house here to have mincemeat pie or pumpkin pie or apple pie for the holiday. Luke, I want to talk just about the middle of the defense and about Roquan Smith and about all of the offseason where you felt like that was a problem. A lot of folks felt like how many safeties you're going to sign, right? I mean, and we talk so much about how they're in dime more than the average bear, certainly in nickel as a base, right? So having extra DBs is important. We've talked about the defensive line and losing Brandon Williams and what that sort of represents in the running game and Calais Campbell and his age and where Matt Abike and all the young defensive linemen that they've drafted, Jones, these guys that are going to get in here and play, right? But the middle of the defense was so suspect from the beginning, and we wondered aloud, like, you're bringing Josh Bynes back? Like, we like Brandon Copeland's on the team? Like, but how are you going to win like this? And all of a sudden, this, I don't want to call it a heart transplant because, yeah, that would be disrespectful to all those high character guys like Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters. But the Roquan Smith thing feels to me 2 hours into this now, watching this a little bit. Had we been talking about him being added to the team, let's say before the draft, and Eric pulled off something on draft day to bring him in and they gave up whatever they gave up because the draft picks don't even matter at this point. It's about the team on the field. But if we had had 4 months to scout up on this and go through training camp like this and thinking, well, Roquan Smith will probably make Patrick Queen better, and that'll probably make the edge better, and that'll probably get and then all the other additions you're talking about, whether it's Bowser being back in for some snaps now, whether it's JPP not only getting snaps but making an impact when he does and coming down with a football on Sunday. The defense, we have to stop talking about the defense about three touchdown leads lost 8 weeks ago and how we felt in the offseason. – This is a different defense now, and I think it'll be talked about in that way. Now, Kyle Hamilton, they can't continue to lose guys. They lost Fuller earlier in the year. This needs to be a mature unit to go after Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes or even in good weather in Miami in January. But I'm still looking at those games and saying, Eric's done a great job with this. This last 3 weeks, the fact that we're talking about the defense in a lead capacity here for this franchise right now, not are we going to give Lamar $250 million or $280 million, and they still have to figure that out. But the Roquan Smith thing, the more I see it, the more I think they better not play without it next year. As I'm looking at it, this is a good look for their defense. The middle, as we pointed out, that this thing feels a lot more stout in a way that it never did after they let CJ Mosley go to the Jets.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I want to be very clear about this. I do think, you know, and I know Marlon Humphrey was asked after the game, you know, is this the best defense you've played with? I think we need to pump the brakes a little bit. Wink Martindale had some really good defenses prior to last
year.
You
don't ask
that
hurt. Question. I mean, we're not.
I can't remember. I mean, yeah. You know, it's just, you know, we're all prisoners of the moment to some degree. But it's not as though the Ravens had bad defenses in Lamar Jackson's first 4 years. It just wasn't the truth. Now, last year, yeah, it was bad by the end of the year because you didn't have Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters and, you know, go down the list of guys that they were lacking by the end of the season.
But on its best day, the linebacking core in the middle,
vulnerable. No
going
question.
Back to everybody they've drafted who hasn't worked out.
No question. Well, and I think let's remember this was a team that was trying to get Bobby Wagner in the offseason. You know, when he was a free agent, ultimately he ended up signing with the Rams, which I'm guessing, even though he's playing at home, I'm guessing he's probably regretting that at this point. Maybe regretting not giving the Ravens.
You don't sign after they win the Super Bowl. You sign on the way up.
Right. Right. Well, yeah, it's easy to say that now. So, but I think you're right, and your point is well taken in terms of where this defense is now. And I think you also have to take it a step further and look at where the league is now. You know, we've talked a lot. This even goes back to before the season when we were talking about the Ravens adding Marcus Williams at safety and adding Kyle Hamilton. Talked a lot about more and more defenses playing too high looks, right? You know, too high safeties to try to neutralize some of these passing games. And we've seen that. You know, we've seen passing and scoring be down this year compared to where it's been in recent years. However, when you're playing more too high, what does that mean for the box? You're playing with a lighter run box, right? So you need to make sure you're very stout with your defensive linemen and stout with your inside linebackers, or teams are going to really try to gash you with the run. And we've seen that happen to some teams. I mean,
they're
going to
bring their Patrick Ricard in a
right,
lunch
right.
Pail.
Well, I mean, teams don't have Patrick Ricard, but they're just going to try to run the football. And if you're playing nickel, with too high safety with nickel and you only have six guys in the box or seven guys in the box and it's a really light box in terms of the players that are playing, you're much more vulnerable. And we even saw this with the Ravens a couple years ago in 2019 when they were playing so much dime. We saw, and Derrick Henry and the Titans exposed this and were able to take advantage of this when they jumped out to a lead in that playoff loss 3 years ago that they were able to run the ball on the Ravens. So now, ideally, you would have had Michael Pierce, who, of course, replaced Brandon Williams, as you mentioned, Brandon Williams leaving after this past season. But you want to be stout with your defensive line. And now the Ravens are more stout at inside linebacker with Roquan Smith and with Patrick Queen then reaping the benefits. And keep in mind, Patrick Queen was playing better even before Roquan Smith arrived a couple weeks ago. Let's give him proper credit because we certainly criticized his play over the last couple years when it was warranted. So I think it's important to note that. But when you have a much more stout, robust front six in that case, when you're playing a nickel, even if Kyle Hamilton or Chuck Clark or whoever's going to move into the box pre-snap, it allows you to stop the run and still not be vulnerable against the big play in the passing game. So that's really where teams are trying to find that adjustment now. And that's where, you know, as much as we've talked, guys like me have talked about positional value and off-ball linebackers not being quite as valued as they had been in the past because of it becoming more of a passing league. Well, that now swings in the opposite direction. If you're playing too much sub package and you're playing with too light of a box with guys in there who aren't physically ready, capable of stopping the run as consistently as you'd like, well, then teams try to exploit that. That's why we've seen the running game make a little bit of a comeback this year around the league. You know, you're seeing, I think I saw the yards per carry was the highest it's been as far as a league average in quite some time. I can't remember the exact year, but we're not talking 5 years. It's been a long time since you've seen teams across the board run as effectively on a per carry basis. So that's where you do have the Ravens, to their credit. You know, maybe, I don't know if it ahead of the curve as much as just being ready for it in terms of, yeah, we need to be able to stop the run. But in this case, it's not just a bunch of defensive linemen. It's not just, you know, getting the next version of Brandon Williams or Michael Pierce. It's adding a three down linebacker to the mix who, yeah, can stop the run, make a lot of tackles, but also be an impact player as a blitzer and in coverage. And to this point, the Ravens have to really like what they've seen from Roquan Smith. And it's had a great impact on Patrick Queen, because Patrick Queen, one of the best players on the field, either side of the ball for the Ravens, might have been the best player on their defense, although I think Marlon Humphrey played at a very high level as well. But you're seeing a defense that, you know, maybe not quite that, you know, not relying on as many sub packages since acquiring Roquan Smith. It's become much more just nickel heavy. But that's okay, because if you still have the guys that they have on the back end of the defense to cover, it puts them in a much better position at the first and second level to stop the run and also contain some of those passes over the middle of the field that were giving them problems earlier in the season.
Well, it shouldn't be that shocking that with the Dolphins and the Chiefs spreading out, that the defenses get more nickely and dimey and lighter, sure, and more empty in the middle, and that allows – Most or whoever your running back is, that is going to have an extra half a step because of the way defenses have to play spread, literally, right? And the personnel that they're putting in there to play spread.
No question. That's why I think when you saw Miami, and they were on a bye this week, but you know, they were able to run the ball. And I know they're playing the Browns, and the Browns stink, but I think one of the more interesting things there was, as much as you talk about Tua and Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, they've been starting to run the ball, and that makes them that much more dangerous. We've seen Kansas City, when they're at their best, are they putting up big rushing volume totals? No, of course not. But when they're efficient and they're rushing at a respectable yards per carry, boy, it makes them so difficult. And that's one thing I think Buffalo's looking for right now. If they can be more productive, more consistent when they do run the ball, beyond just depending on Josh Allen to do it all, in the same way that the Ravens get in the into these games where you're asking Lamar Jackson to do it all. But if you can do that, it makes it that much more difficult to stop these teams. So I also want to point out, it is much easier when you're going up against the Carolina Panthers or the New Orleans Saints or Tampa Bay until recently, although the Buccaneers certainly have played better since playing the Ravens, but we know they weren't trending, hadn't been trending in a great direction for several weeks prior to that game. So what this defense looks like against Kansas City or Miami or Buffalo, who knows right now, but the opponents that they're playing right now, it's looked pretty darn good. And certainly I think if there were any designs of Baker Mayfield having a second half of the season resurgence after being benched earlier in the year, I think the Ravens, they put a stop to that, as I saw quite a bit of the post-game chatter coming out of Charlotte was, maybe it's time to take a look at Sam Darnold again.
There you go. Bring back Jake Delhomme is what I would say. Luke will be around all week long getting you ready for Thanksgiving. We are not having the Maryland Crab Cake Tour this week because of the holiday, but all of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We had a $20 winner at Pappas last week. Great, great stuff at Pappas with Mike Bordick, Adam Kolarik. You ever met Adam Kolarik or no? You're left hand coming from the side, you don't want to see him in the batter's box, I don't think, huh?
Yeah, especially if you're left-handed, right? But yeah, I mean, that's I have not, but certainly it sounded like it was a good time, but for everyone.
Well, I'll tell you what, we talked a lot of baseball, and it was fun, and we certainly got out for the holidays. Mike Bordick joining us, talking a little bit about League of Dreams as well, and David Steele stopped by as well out of Pappas. So big thank you to our friends at Pappas and our friends at Goodwill. We'll be serving turkeys on Wednesday. If you still want to contribute, be a part of it, roll your sleeves up, come on downtown. It's Wednesday at 10 a.m. That's the call time for all the volunteers like myself. You can email me, Ness at Baltimore Positive. goodwillpositive.com. Big shout out to our friends at Wise Markets this week as well for contributing to Goodwill's efforts downtown. And of course, Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, where I'm staying toasty on these 21-degree mornings. Anything you want to say about Jacksonville before we get into this or get around the league a little bit? This is normal time this week. Jacksonville's got extra time off. This game worries me a little bit. I'll be talking about it all week. We're going to go talk to Rick Ballew. We're going to talk to my friend Sam Kavaris, Baltimorean Sam Kavaris, who's been down in Jacksonville all these years and votes on the Hall of Fame as well. The way the team's playing right now offensively, I don't like it. I don't like the Ronnie Stanley thing, certainly the Kyle Hamilton thing. This is a different week, I think, for the Ravens. This is a tougher road game than the rest of the way, other than maybe Cincinnati.
Well, I would say the AFC North road games, you can't take that for granted. I don't care if it's even Cleveland or Pittsburgh. I mean, that's a different animal.
We saw the Bengals. I sat there and watched them all afternoon.
Yeah, and we saw the Bengals get blown out in Cleveland a few weeks back. You know, and the Bengals overall have played some pretty good football here of late. So you never want to take those games for granted. But of the rest of these games coming up against 3-7 teams, I think Jacksonville is a team for a 3-7 opponent. Again, they're 3-7. I've said it three times now. I want to be clear about that. I'm not trying to gas them up and make them out to be more than what they are. However, you look at their seven losses, one score loss. You noticing a trend here? And then they lost in Kansas City 2 weeks ago by 10, a game that if you watched, they hung around. They competed. You know, it was not a slam dunk for the Chiefs. And I know the Chiefs kind of do this thing where, you know, Sunday notwithstanding, which was a heck of a football game, by the way, but the Chiefs jump out in front of teams and they tend to then hide, right? They just kind of go through the motions the rest of the way and ends up looking closer than it was. But, you know, this is a Jacksonville team that has looked pretty good at times. And then they look awful, right? I mean, they have these games where, I mean, look at their Raiders win a couple weeks ago where they looked really bad early in that game, and then they looked really good in the second half. So I'll say this much, and I said it in our previous conversation, Ravens need to play better offensively. That offensive performance that was good enough against Carolina, that won't be good enough against Jacksonville on the road. And the Jaguars are coming off the bye week. And we know, and it's funny saying that because we know the Ravens didn't exactly come out firing on all cylinders out of the bye, but team with extra rest, a team with an extra week to prepare for Lamar Jackson in this running game, Ravens need to go out to, they need to go down to Jacksonville and play well. You know, that is not going to be a game where you just show up and you're going to win. You know, I think they're going to win. I'll pick them the win, but I think this could be a game that has the potential to be a trouble spot for them if they don't come out and play well right out of the gate.
I'll give you one little piece here. It's early in the week, and I don't care about the line or any of that. 74 degrees and sunny in Jacksonville, 1 o'clock on Sunday. That's the forecast, so I'm going to stick with that. Certainly, Justin Tucker will be a lot happier about that than he was before the game on Sunday. I am Nestor. He is Luke. You can find him, Baltimore Luke, out on the Twitter thing, at least as long as Uncle Elon allows us to tweet. And of course, the Maryland Crab Cake Tour gets back after. We're going to be at Fadley's on the 16th. I do know that heading into December. So we're looking forward to that as well. But I'll have a whole list of things up, all that brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, Goodwill, and our friends at Window Nation. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Wishing you and your family happy Thanksgiving. We are BaltimorePositive.com.